For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Should be as well. Tell your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Bennigan's taking care of all of us today. And Volnick's taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. We're talking about the Guardians' lack of offense. And Dan dug up some numbers that are going to make you cry, Andy. We're going to hear from Razor in Ravenna first. Hello, Razor.
What's up, Razor?
Hey, good afternoon, Jeff and Andy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Enjoying the show on this dreary day, that's for sure.
I hear you. All right, what do you got for us?
I think the number two spot in our batting lineup has been too much of a revolving door without enough consistency, and that's just killer for any team that's trying to function in the major league. And I think a solution temporarily, maybe long term, we've seen it before, people might not be happy. But Jimenez, I think, needs to be back at number two. So Kwan and Ramirez and Naylor can be complemented with a guy that can at least hit 250.
And he's been better since the All-Star break. He's had a better go of it, Razor. So
I love his glove. And I wouldn't take too many laughs about Miles Straw right now with some of the plays in the outfield that have not been made.
Okay, Razor, thank you very much. I know you want Miles back. I want the bat who can drive in some runs. That's Florio. Let's just see. And I say that based on a couple of things, Andy. After the All-Star break, okay? Since the All-Star break. Stephen Kwan, who was, you know, flirting with 400, since the All-Star break, has hit 225. That's not good. David Fry, who was hitting 360. Since the All-Star break, David's hitting 230. That's not good. Bo Naylor's hitting 183. Brian Rocchio is hitting 175. Lane Thomas is hitting 113, as we said, since he's been here.
It's a Guardians Therapy Monday.
Hold on. Daniel Schneeman is hitting 163 since the All-Star break. Tyler Freeman is hitting 188 since the All-Star break. And Austin Hedges, top of the Faber pledge class at 200. So add all those up, and what do you get? Here are Menigan's numbers. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 30 games, 28 games actually played. So that's the time. Mm-hmm. The Guardians are hitting 218 as a team. That's 28th in Major League Baseball. Their on-base percentage is 276. That's second to last in Major League Baseball. Second to last. This is since July 20th. And their slugging percentage, which has always been the, yeah, but look at the slugging percentage, they're doing okay, is 367, which is 27th in Major League Baseball. Now, I don't think you can just take guys who might not be good hitters and turn them into good hitters in mid-August. So what do you do? I mean, you must pick up the offense if you want to go ahead and try and win this division. It's, to me, it's odd that so many guys are not hitting since the All-Star break. And I don't know a better word to use than odd, do you?
It's just, you know, like hitting is contagious? It is, both ways. I'm not trying to say anything that's the rocket science, but you know, you know when you're in a lineup and things are getting hot, everybody starts to feel that same kind of confidence when they go up to the plate. I think what's surprising to me, though, is that the lack of offense they were able to have over the weekend, because Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I must have heard 10 times this weekend what a great place that was, that is for hitters. Like, hitters love, it's not, it, what is, what's the insurance company now? Great American or something like that?
It's always going to be Miller Park.
Miller Park. But just hearing that, you know, that that's such a great place to hit, that's such a great place to hit. Guys get their confidence there, that they feel good, that between that and Cincinnati, they're the best places to go to hit, that they just, hitters love it. And to watch what the Guardians were able to do this weekend in a place that was notorious for, you know, making hitters feel more confident, that's not good. That's, I mean, how long were they no hit yesterday? Ugh. I thought they were going to get no hit yesterday, you know, and I just don't, I don't have the confidence I think maybe some other people have in this team, especially when you're looking at trying to piecemeal everything together. What, a thrift shop, like it feels like things are outside of like Ramirez and I, you know, you think Kwan, it's, everything feels like a thrift shop with this team. It's true.
I think that's very true.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do here? I mean, I said this before with, you know, Amed Rosario being DFA'd by the Dodgers. If they could go get him, I would have gone and got him. They couldn't. Reds grabbed him. But you have three utility guys, basically. You know, you have Tyler Freeman. You have Schneeman. That, there's two. And I'm not going to say Rocchio is a utility guy because he's not. I think he's the best defensive shortstop we have. But those three guys, Rocchio 175, Schneeman 163, Freeman 188 since the All-Star break. Sorry, you don't need all three. I mean, so they can play a lot of positions. And I don't really include Rocchio in that because he's, you know, almost primarily a shortstop, obviously. Mm-hmm. But nothing against Daniel Schneeman, great story. Nothing against Tyler Freeman, great story. And they've both been effective at times this year. You don't need two guys who can play a lot of positions, who are primarily, at least coming up, infielders, hitting 163 and 188 since the All-Star break. Get one of them out of here. Say, hey, thank you. Go down and be sharp. Find your swing again, like Will Brennan did. And we're going to bring up Miles Straw.
At this point, yeah, why
Andy,
not?
I would rather have Miles Straw here than Schneeman or Freeman.
And guess what?
Especially since they're playing center field.
And they're paying him. They're paying him a lot of money
paying
to
him
be
regardless.
In Columbus.
I mean, they got to pay him regardless. But I honestly, I would bring up Floreal. Floreal has some oomph in his bat. Maybe when he's, now that he's hot in Columbus, maybe that carries over here. It worked for Will Brennan. Will's up and is doing a pretty nice job. Maybe it'll work for Esteban Floreal, highly thought of Yankee prospect at one time.
I'm for it. I do whatever they need to do. I look at these games over the last 2 days, especially where you only gave up two runs in both games, and you couldn't win those games. That stings. That's not the kind of loss this team can take and expect to have success. I mean, they gave up four runs in the last two games, and they scored one. They had four over the weekend. Something's got to happen if you want to have more, you know, confidence in this thing. Running down to, you know, you got last week of August here. Again,
I think Stephen Vogt's doing anything wrong? I find it hard to blame the manager.
I know, but there are times you wonder why. Sometimes he does, and that's being a manager. And I don't have any. Like, I'm not sitting here criticizing him, but I also know this is his first run as a manager down the stretch. And, you know, you're running the marathon, and then you're wondering if Kansas City's just drafting behind you, you know? Minnesota just drafting behind you. And then all of a sudden you're going to hit that last leg, and they're going to come around the corner, and they're going to pass you.
Can I throw two other names at you?
Sure.
Last 15 days in Columbus, Kyle Manzardo hitting .238. He's hit three home runs, though. And are you sitting?
Yeah, I am. Oh, let me check. Yeah, I'm sitting.
Gabe Arias.
Ooh, what's he doing?
303. I mean, we're looking. Dan's snickering over there. You know what, Dan? You should be snickering.
If the answer to your question is Gabriel Arias, you probably need to find a new question.
I don't know that the answer is. What I know is that we have a question that they don't have an answer to yet.
From what I'm staring at here, they're hitting a boatload of lazy fly balls. Just as a team.
Oh, you're saying the big leagues.
Just grabbing team percentages and that stuff. They're hitting a bunch of lazy fly balls. So I partially wonder if it's when Andrew Siciliano brought it up, which is, hey, they're throwing you a lot of breaking balls, a lot of changeups, that kind of stuff.
And guys are getting out in front of it.
Stuff that are getting out in front, which usually causes lazy fly balls. Either that or usually bang them into the dirt, but they're hitting lazy fly balls out of it. I think it's one of those where maybe a off day today followed by a, hey, everybody, FYI, we're getting a whole lot of breaking balls. You're going to want to sit back a little bit more and make those adjustments. You know, maybe change the machines a little bit on top of that. Again, I assume they're doing such things to begin with. But I'm not looking at anything down in AAA and going, my answer is there.
No, I'm Dan, I'm not either, except for one thing. The answer is not on the major league roster.
It's going to have to be at this point of the year, man. Unless you think the Rangers yard sale that's going to take place of all their guys on waivers, some of those guys are going to find their way down to you, which I doubt because your record is too good in waivers that you're going to run into. Like, remember last year we ended up with Lucas Giolito, Matt Moore, and Ronaldo Lopez because the guards' record at that point was like right on the fringe that they could grab all those guys. Well, there's talk that the Rangers are going to do the same thing that the Angels did last year and unload a whole bunch of guys that might be free agents on the tail end to save some dough. If that ends up being the case, maybe a couple of those slip through the cracks and you could go there. But boy, I'm not looking in the minors and going, yep, that's the guy that's going to solve the problem. The guys who are going to solve the problem are the guys that are sitting on his bench. And it's time to look at them and go, gentlemen, you're hitting a whole bunch of lazy fly balls. Square some stuff up. Let's go.
Yeah, okay.
Get back to walking.
Great. Those are great words, Dan. Have you...
I don't have a better solution.
I got a name for you.
Oh, goodness.
You bring in Steven Vogt because he's already got a uniform. He's going to start hitting now?
No. Had some power, made an all-star
hitter.
Team.
All-star. 243 batting average, current free agent. Had 5 home runs this year. Started his career here.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Urshela, free agent. RD, my man.
He was DFA'd, right?
Yep.
Where are you going to play him?
I don't know. I'm just trying to get a bat in the lineup. DH him. Do whatever you need to do.
I'd rather bring up Floreal.
All right. I'm just throwing it. I need to get somebody who can hit the ball. Just somebody who can spark this lineup a little bit.
I get that. Jonathan Rodriguez? Or are he... You ever see he and... And Junkenzie Noel together?
Are they the same guy? I don't know. You're implying they're one and the same?
I don't know. I thought Rodriguez looked pretty good when he was up here. I know he didn't hit very well, but I thought this is the kind of guy I want out there. Folks, you have any answers? Because things are getting a little tight. And maybe they don't have to get tight. But man, you're not hitting. Andy, I think if we sit back and take a look at this thing for the Browns... Though there's an issue now with the health of the offensive line and all, think about it. Right now, if you had to, okay, if you had to play a regular season game, you've got a healthy quarterback.
Okay.
You have a healthy offensive line except for left tackle. I'm going to say, because DeJuan Jones has played, I'm going to put him at right tackle. And we're going to have Betonio and Posick and Teller and DeJuan Jones.
Okay, so you Conklin's out in your world. Okay.
Well, I'm just going with the guys who have played right now. Okay. Jack hasn't played yet. Jedrick Wills hasn't played. Jermaine Ifedi has played. He's going to start at left tackle. If we're playing a regular game, you know, like tomorrow, your wide receiving crew is good to go. Your top four guys are there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
top five.
Five, six, seven, eight, if you want. Mm-hmm. You're healthy at wide receiver. You're healthy at tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Nick Chubb, you're healthy at running back. I mean, you can go play. Right now.
And people are kind of questioning that right now. They're wondering if he might be back early.
The only issue you have is...
I don't think he's back for the first four games, but you know what? I would never put anything past Nick Chubb. If he's back, I'd be ecstatic.
I hope he's not. I just don't want to push him.
If he's ready to play and he's healthy, I hope he's back.
Yeah, okay. I get that. I get that. I just don't want to push him. If you had to play a game tomorrow, you actually could. Sure. With all of your starters, and I'm going to say DeJuan Jones is a starter because he was at the end of last year.
Okay.
All of your starters except left tackle and running back.
Okay.
But Jerome Ford started most of the year last year, then he'd be good to go. So though there's an issue, and your offensive line depth would be an issue, clearly. But you can deal with that.
Who's your third running back right now, by the way? Is it Strong or is it Foreman? It's
Pierre Strong. I would think Deontay Foreman is going to be a significant member of this backfield.
So you're keeping four? What are you?
Right
if,
now?
Well, if Nick comes back.
I would think you're not going to cut Deontay Foreman.
I don't think so
either. I would think you're not going to cut Pierre Strong. And I would think you're definitely keeping Jerome Ford. So, and I would think that's the case.
Yeah, I want to see how that... I think this the Foreman Strong...
Foreman looked good the other day.
Yeah, I think that's a battle. That's probably been probably one of the best battles that we've seen in camp. I mean, not that... I mean, Foreman had a touchdown, which kind of made him jump off the page a little bit. But
well,
the numbers weren't
great
exactly.
He looked great in the receiving game and not good in the running game. The Browns' running game has been putrid in the first two preseason games. And I think a lot of it is because you haven't been playing your starting offensive line for the most part. And you know they're barely moving the football. It was 10 carries, 18 yards for Foreman. And when they were on the one-yard line, he got the ball two straight plays, Andy. He was hit behind the line of scrimmage twice. First time they brought him down, second time he fought his way out of the tackle and got into the end zone for the touchdown. The offensive line play has been atrocious. I mean, they just can't run the ball. But you haven't had your guys out there.
I don't feel like I've seen anything. I don't feel like I don't feel like I've watched the offense play.
Well, we haven't seen Ken Dorsey's offense.
It's been blah at best.
Absolutely.
I do want to see these guys play, but I just not at the expense of getting hurt. And I know other teams are doing with it. I mean, I'm kind of getting. I mean, this is kind of dog day stuff too. Like we're talking about whether you play guys or not in a preseason game. Just get me to the season. Just get us all. I think the commissioner wants that. I think everybody wants that. Come in, get your work done, and let's start the regular season.
What do you make of a guy like Andy Reid playing his starters in the preseason?
I think he's fearless. And, you know, like somebody said, what's their first month record since Andy Reid's been there? Like, somebody was talking about that this morning on the morning show, and I was just like, they're very good. They're ready to play when the season starts. I think that, you know, that's the old school mentality when these guys had to have jobs in the offseason, though, too. Like, well, you got to play these guys in the preseason to get them ready for the regular season so they know how to tackle and they know how to block and that things are normal. Now these guys should be doing it all year long to a point where they're allowed to be there and, you know, mandatory and what's not mandatory, voluntary, all that stuff. But this something has got to change with the preseason stuff because it's just you go out there, you watch what you think is your team, and it's never really your team. It is amazing to me how when the first game of the season rolls around, the team you've been watching for at least three games now doesn't look anything like what you saw in the preseason. That is a fact. You all know it. That's the way it looks in the beginning of the year. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is what I was waiting for. Okay. Oh, I'm glad we're here now.
The one thing about what's going on in the preseason, if you want to try and translate it to the regular season, to me is this. In this division where you know you had everybody with a winning record, you cannot start slow. And you have Dallas. You have a Jacksonville team on the road that I think is pretty decent football team. A Giants team that hasn't been really good, but I'm not counting them out. You're in Vegas. You're in Washington. You're in Philadelphia. Man, you start slow. You're gonna be in trouble. And I just don't think they can do that. And then after that stretch of road games, you come home against Cincinnati, Baltimore, and the Chargers.
Yeah, but isn't it weird you don't see one AFC North team until week seven?
Well, it's okay. But, last year we saw a bunch early, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But you just can't start slow. And to me, I wonder, okay, Kevin, you've done a great job. You've been coach of the year twice. – I'm going to trust him on this, but makes me wonder, are you ready to walk out on the football field and take on the Dallas Cowboys in week one? Are you? Because that's a game. Dallas is a pretty good team. You know, I know they've been disappointing to Dallas fans, but they're still a pretty talented team. Are you ready to take them on in week one? Because that's a game. It's a home game against a team, Andy, that is not gangbusters. That's a team you're supposed to win, a game you're supposed to win, I think, if you're the Browns. That's a game you're supposed to win. And if your team comes out flat because you didn't play guys in the preseason, well, okay, was that smart?
I think it's shame on the coaching staff, because you shouldn't come out flat. I don't care if you're playing games or not. Your practices should keep you enough to not come out in the beginning of the season to be flat. You shouldn't be. There's no excuse for an NFL team to be flat in the beginning of the season.
I agree with that.
If they're not ready, that's 100% on the coaching staff. 100%.
I would agree with that.
All right. We're through two preseason games. We all know that the numbers are made up and all of that kind of stuff. But a couple things, and I just want to throw a couple things out to you to get your thoughts on it. Let me know if this is a thing or if it's like, eh. So, you know, yeah, this is something worth paying attention to, or eh. All right? Okay. We're ready for this?
Yep. Yes.
So, right now, in two games, the Cleveland Browns have had 56 rushing yards against Green Bay and 56 rushing yards against the Minnesota Vikings. So, two games in a row, you have had 56 rushing yards. Is that something to keep an eye on, or is that, eh? Andy, what do you think?
Eh, your offensive line isn't your offensive line. You're still playing against twos and threes for most of the game. Let's face it, the guys you're using at running back aren't Nick Chubb. I don't know if Nick Chubb's going to be Nick Chubb, so I'm not going to worry about it. Can you hold on to the ball and not fumble the ball in the preseason? Good enough. Can you get in the end zone after you got touched in the back, in the backfield by trying to get in like Deonta Foreman did? Yep. So they're doing the job they need to do. I'm totally not worried about any of that.
The only thing that sticks in my head is this. It's not that they had only 56 yards rushing. It's that they averaged 2.7 yards per carry against Green Bay and 2.4 against Minnesota. That's the only thing that concerns me.
I'll give you the old cliche. Defenses are always ahead of offensive in the preseason.
Okay, fine.
Well, I'm glad you pointed to that, Andy, because if we look at the other direction of that, the Packers ran for 155 yards at a 4.6 yards per rush.
Oops.
And then the Vikings ran for 113 yards at a 4.2 yards per rush. So, Andy, is this something you're worried about, or?
Nah.
You ready?
They didn't start their guys, Andy.
Hang on. Go to Jeff first, and I'll give you my answer. Oh, good.
Mr. Phelps, is this concerning, or?
No, because the defenses looked really basic, and they're not playing guys either. The thing that just I can't get out of my head is, okay, you're not playing guys. Are they going to be able to turn it on against Dallas?
Ready? No Newsome, no Thornhill. You want to keep going? No JOK, no Delpit, no McLeod. No Ward.
Miles.
Only one of those guys MJ. That you pointed out has to really do with the run. Maybe two.
Martin Emerson, Ronnie Hickman, no. DeAnthony Bell, no. Watson, no.
Really focusing in on the safeties.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. Tony Fields. I'm giving you linebackers, too, that didn't play. Double O didn't play.
There you go. Now you're cooking with
Jordan
guys.
Hicks didn't play. What more do you want? Jed Wills? Well, no, that's offense. Sorry.
Nice job.
Who else do you want? Jefferson didn't play.
We're good. You've made your point.
Hurst,
you've made your point.
Right, Tomlinson, Garrett,
your first grade
Smith.
Teacher is very proud.
Yeah, okay.
Look at Andy go.
I could have just read the last four names, and I could have been just as good. Wright, Tomlinson, Garrett, Smith. Boom. That's all you need to know.
There you go. Sometimes you start at the bottom of the list and work your way back.
All right, but so I was a B. I sat in the front of the class. I wasn't one of the, you know, the Z's at the other
just
side.
Just some of those things that you're looking at. Penalties. 4 for 40 off of the Vikings game. 4 for 25 off of the Packers game. Is that something you're looking at?
You're giving me all this stuff, and I want to say, you know what? That's an important thing. And then I keep going back to it's a preseason game and they didn't play their starters.
But more than anything, you're right. I'm trying to look for like a philosophy place in here and something that I can point to.
Let me give you the philosophy.
We're trying to find it and it's not there.
That's garbage football. Can we be honest? It's just garbage football.
Well, I think we're rushing stuff is a little interesting.
We're watching third and fourth. No, it's not, because you're not looking at your offensive line and you're running your third and fourth, if you're in a good scenario with Nick back, that you're running your third and fourth running backs. That's where you are.
But for years,
it's all garbage.
We've been able to grab five human beings and throw them up front and then stick any running back you can think of behind there, and they've ran for positive yardage and looked okay in preseason.
How many times in the preseason, though, do you get one guy that rips off a gigantic run and it skews all the numbers, too?
I mean, John Kelly was a preseason MVP because they would just run him behind whomever they could find. Now this year, it's seeming like it's getting slightly bottled up. So that's one of those, like, I'm going to circle that one. I'm not hand-waving that.
I'll be honest. I don't care, but if they come out flat week one, I'll blame the coaching staff.
Beautiful.
That'll be fun.
Congratulations. You've become an official fan of the team.
That'll be fun.
Thank you. Can you hold on to the ball and not fumble the ball in the preseason? Good enough. Can you get in the end zone after you got touched in the back in the backfield by trying to get in like Deonta Foreman did? Yep. So they're doing the job they need to do. I'm totally not worried about any of that.
The only thing that sticks in my head is this. It's not that they had only 56 yards rushing. It's that they averaged 2.7 yards per carry against Green Bay and 2.4 against Minnesota. That's the only thing that concerns me.
I'll give you the old cliche. Defenses are always ahead of offensive in the preseason.
Okay, fine.
Well, I'm glad you pointed to that, Andy, because if we look at the other direction of that, the Packers ran for 155 yards at a 4.6 yards per rush.
Oops.
And then the Vikings ran for 113 yards at a 4.2 yards per rush. So, Andy, is this something you're worried about? Or
Nah.
You ready?
They didn't start their guys, Andy.
Hang on. Go to Jeff first, and I'll give you my
good.
Mr. Phelps, is this concerning?
No, because the defenses looked really basic, and they're not playing guys either. The thing that just I can't get out of my head is, okay, you're not playing guys, you're not playing guys, you're not playing guys. Are they going to be able to turn it on against Dallas?
Ready? No Newsom, no Thornhill. You want me to keep going? No JOK, no Delpit, no McLeod. No Ward.
Miles.
Only one of those guys MJ. That you pointed out has to really do with the run. Maybe two.
Martin Emerson, Ronnie Hickman, no. DeAnthony Bell, no. Watson, no.
Really focusing in on the safeties.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. Tony Fields. I'm giving you linebackers, too, that didn't play. Double O didn't play.
There you go. Now you're cooking with
Jordan
gas.
Hicks didn't play. What more do you want? Jed Wills? Well, no, that's offense. Sorry.
Nice job.
Who else do you want? Jefferson didn't play.
We're good.
You've made your point.
Hurst, you made your point.
Right, Tomlinson, Garrett,
your first grade
Smith.
Teacher is very proud.
Yeah, okay.
Look at Andy go.
I could have just read the last four names, and I could have been just as good. Wright, Tomlinson, Garrett, Smith. Boom. That's all you need to know.
There you go. Sometimes you start at the bottom of the list and work your way back.
All right, but I was a B. I sat in the front of the class. I wasn't one of the, the Z's at the other side.
Just some of those things that you're looking at. Penalties. 4 for 40 off of the Vikings game. 4 for 25 off of the Packers game. Is that something you're looking at?
You're giving me all this stuff, and I want to say, you know what? That's an important thing. And then I keep going back to it's a preseason game, and they didn't play their starters.
But more than anything, you're right. I'm trying to look for like a philosophy that's taking place in here and something that I can point to.
Let me give you the philosophy. We're trying to find it,
and it's not there.
That's garbage football. Can we be honest? It's just garbage football.
Well, I think the rushing stuff is a little interesting.
We're watching third and fourth. No, it's not, because you're not looking at your offensive line, and you're running your third and fourth, if you're in a good scenario with Nick back, that you're running your third and fourth running backs. That's where you are.
But for years,
it's all garbage.
We've been able to grab five human beings and throw them up front and then stick any running back you can think of behind there, and they've ran for positive yardage and looked okay in preseason.
How many times in the preseason, though, do you get one guy that rips off a gigantic run and it skews all the numbers, too?
I mean, John Kelly was a preseason MVP because they would just run him behind whomever they could find. Now this year, it's seeming like it's getting slightly bottled up. So that's one of those, like, I'm going to circle that one. I'm not hand-waving that.
I'll be honest. I don't care, but if they come out flat week one, I'll blame the coaching staff.
Beautiful.
That'll be fun.
Congratulations. You've become an official fan of the team.
That'll be fun.
Thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.